Good evening. We would all agree that it's been a blessed week so far, hasn't it? And I just appreciate the young brothers who have put a lot of work into presenting the topics. I feel kind of like a bookend. So these young men are in the prime of their lives, and I kind of feel like I'm coming toward the end. So we're thankful that we serve the same God, and we're thankful for his goodness. And I just thankful the way our leadership team leads us to seek the Lord. And one thing I appreciate, one of many things I appreciate about this congregation is that a person can be pretty open to what he says, and I don't feel judged, usually not. And so I'm going to just say something again. I noticed that Saturday there were some tears. I like that. When I was young in this congregation, I can remember a lot of tears, if I'm remembering correctly. And I know tears are not necessarily a sign of special sign. Some of us are more emotional than others. But I just want to thank the Lord for softening of hearts. And I don't think we have to try to cry, but I don't think, I'm ashamed sometimes how easily I cry. And the older I get, the easier it becomes. So the transformation of our lives by the renewing of our minds or our hearts. So I'd just like if someone would respond, what would you say is the essence of Christianity? Now, it'll be different answers. There's not a right, wrong answer. What do you think of? What is the heart of Christianity? Jesus is the heart. It's Jesus and relationship with Jesus. Right. That's what I was headed toward. So when we think of the renewing of our mind, so that means we have work to do to become more like our master, right? And so the other question is it possible to know this holy God? Is he real? Or is he an idea? We believe he's real. But if you're like I am, it is so easy, isn't it, to kind of forget he is real. Just as real as you and I are. But the challenge is, it takes a different set of senses to talk with him. Right? I see you, I hear you, I see your body language, I see your smiles. But if I talk with God, it takes some other senses, and we'll get to that later. And I just want to say, I'm a needy brother, we're all on the same shoes, right? I trust we all have that yearning to know God more and more. God has given me a few more years to blunder along, but he's been so gracious. And I look back at our lives and I say, what a gracious God. And I think that's one of the things that makes walking with God exciting, because there's always room for more. People who don't know God, where God doesn't play a part in their lives, they live, they exist. But as we know God and yearn for more, and we mess up, And he picks us up, and there's always something new. And I admit, studying this brought out a lot of needs in my life. It's been kind of a rough time for me, but it's been a blessing. So are we all agreed that we are created for fellowship with God? We are created for God's glory. In Revelation, it says that man, that thou hast created all things, and for your pleasure or by your will, everything was created. Now, can you visualize how it would have been in the garden before the fall? So there was God, the Creator, and there were the humans, there were Adam and Eve tending the garden, and in the evening they would get together and they would talk, and there was a harmonious relationship where there was no, everything in the heart of Adam and Eve, all their worship extended out to him, and there was no thought of rebelling against him. And God, on the other hand, just extended his grace to them, his love to them, and his care for them. We can't visualize, can we? But there is coming a time when, again, there will be such an atmosphere. Now, I'll insert this. So when we are saved, when we come to know the King, we are looking forward to going to heaven, but I think more important than that, we want heaven to come down, don't we? And so, when the redeemed of God's people, if we get together, there is perfect harmony, right? Perfect unity, perfect love. Or, do you agree with me? There should be, right? Because the kingdom of God is ruling. The King rules in our hearts, in my heart, in your heart. So what is keeping us from coming together? And that's what we want to talk about tonight. Because the enemy, the flesh, the world, tries to hinder that harmony. And we know that man fell, and there was this tremendous gulf between God and man. And we know what happened. And man, after that, I think we can say that. Do you agree with me? We're all born with an eye specialist. Would that be right? I come first. I want my way. Don't cross me. Don't tell me what to do. It doesn't take a child very long to show that. And so we know that is the story of the Bible was God pursuing mankind. And that is what is so wonderful. He knew before it happened, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, he knew what was happening. And he reached out and he extended his grace. He pursued after us, and the seed of the woman heel crushed the head of the serpent. And we praise that this evening, that marvelous provision that we have in Christ. But I just like to, I felt moved for this, and I hope it's the right thing to do, but I thought I'm just going back and just review. I don't know if there's anyone here or not. It's so easy to assume that everybody knows the Lord. That you're old enough and you've made commitments and we just kind of move on. But I would just like to pause this evening and help us to reflect, do we know? When I was young, I don't know how many times I responded as I was growing up. I was a sensitive person. And I still remember after we were married, I remember being in the car and I told Edith, let's drive the stake. If I wasn't saved before now, now I know I'm saved. I don't know. Can you identify with that or not? And so I don't know how you young ones, some of, or you older ones, doesn't matter how old, but I just want to be sensitive to sensitive consciences here. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And his love extends to everyone. And I believe that we know there's none righteous, no, not one. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I just want to say tonight, if you're not sure, go to someone afterward. Just say, I want to be sure. We can know that we know him. He wants us to have assurance. And he is such a loving, gracious Father. And only then, but the minute that we make a commitment to God, what happens? God starts working in our lives. And he starts taking those corners, those unbroken corners in our lives. That reminds me. Hans said he redefined some terms for us several weeks ago. When I was young, the word broken meant something positive. A broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. So now, usually when I hear the word broken, we talk about the brokenness in the world, right? So tonight I'm going to talk about broken in a positive way. We can also use the word soft, as opposed to hard, proud, stubborn, self-centered, broken, soft, being willing to be molded by the Master. So we're on a journey, and God keeps molding us, and I don't know if you've experienced it, but I experienced it, that God, you know, we get the idea, I had the idea, I kind of knew how I could do life, and I thought that I could pretty well talk with anybody, and there shouldn't be anyone that I would have problems with, relationship problems, and I went to Europe that way. Well, I was in for a big surprise. And now I look back and I just see how God used those circumstances to break me. I had to come to the point saying, Lord, I can't do anything. It is only you. Only you. I'm going to do something tonight also that I struggled with, but I, as we look at this problem of pride, as we look at our sinful condition, and you know, a lot of us have come to the Lord when we were young without going into deep sin, and that's such a wonderful thing. But we are all still dealing with a nature. And most of you know Philip Yancey, right? The author. Have you, most of you read his memoirs? Okay. Well, if you want something to grip your mind, read that. You understand his books better. But I'd like to read an experience that he had He grew up in a widowed home, a very extreme, fundamentalistic, racist community. And he slowly drifted away from the Lord. We didn't know if he was saved or not. He went to a conservative Christian college. And there on the call, and he became antagonistic. He became cynical, and he was proud. He was intelligent, and he wasn't afraid. He read news magazines during chapel. He just walked on the border just so he wouldn't be expelled. And he was proud about it. And then he joined several other boys, students, and they would go to university supposedly to witness, and he went to enjoy the views, and he did enough talking to get by. And then once a week, they would pray together, those four boys, those four students. And so they prayed this, and he never helped to pray. So Craig would pray, Chris prays, Joe prays. Then they wait the usual few moments, seconds, and then they usually close. And then to everyone's surprise, most of all my own, I began to pray aloud. God, I say, and the room crackles with tension. A door slams down the hall, interrupting me. I start again. God, here we are, supposed to be concerned about these 10,000 students at the university who are going to hell. Well, you know that I don't care if they all go to hell. If there is one, I don't care if I go to hell. I might as well be evoking witchcraft or offering child sacrifices. Even so, these are my friends, and no one moves. My mouth goes dry, I swallow hard and continue. For some reason, I start talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan, which one of my classes has been just studying. And he continues, we're supposed to feel the same concern for university students as the Samaritan felt for the bloodied Jew lying in the ditch, I pray. I feel no such concern. I feel nothing. And then it happens. In the middle of my prayer, as I am admitting my lack of care for our designated targets of compassion, the parable comes to me in a new light. I've been visualizing the scene as I speak. A swarthy Middle Eastern man, dressed in robes and a turban, bending over a dirty, blood-stained form in a ditch. Without warning, these two figures now morph on the internal screen of my mind. The Samaritan takes on the form of Jesus. The Jew, pitiable victim of a highway robbery, also takes on another face. One I recognize with a start is my own. In slow motion, I watch Jesus reach down with a moistened rag to clean my wounds and stanch the flow of the blood. As he bends toward me, I see myself, the wounded victim of a crime, open my eyes and spit on him. Full in the face. Just that. The image unnerves me. The apostate who doesn't believe in visions and in biblical parables, I'm rendered speechless. Abruptly, I stop praying, rise, and leave the room. Later he said he was intelligent, sophisticated, tramp by choice. That's where he said the light fell and changed his life forever. Grace. The reason I say that is I think sometimes it is easy for us to forget how full of sin we are. We would never respond that way. But in our core, without being washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, without the Lord Jesus living in our hearts, and then even with that, we struggle with that pride, the unbroken man inside of us. And the only one who can really renew our mind and change us is by us cooperating with the Lord Jesus. That's revival. And if each one of us does that, we humble ourselves, and if each one of us does that, then all of us are revived. We have a new vision of the grace of our Lord. And I've just been so blessed at other testimonies of how the Word of God has brought people back. And I'm just going to tell quickly another story, a short story. Some of you all have been involved with the podcast From Strength to Strength, and I appreciate that, on the sister side, on the brother's side. And there was a testimony there of a couple, Sam and Christina Bear from Alberta. Sam grew up in a conservative Mennonite church, taught school, smuggled Bibles to China, but he lost his way. Moved out, drugs, alcohol, moved in with a girl, got married, without hope, without Christ. They got married then. She had no exposure, little exposure. She just knew when she was young. She said, "I just want to be happy," when her mother asked, "What do you want for a gift?" Sad. Parents were divorced, and he started, finally, at the end of his desperation, he started using a Bible app and looking up a verse every day secretly. He didn't want her to know it. And the Word of God drew him back. He said it was like water to his parched lips. And in the end, she also came to the Lord. And she just devoured the Bible. It became life for her. Why do I share this? That is renewing of the mind. And for us, for me, as we grow up with so much around us, so much Bible, so much teaching, we take it for granted. But it's so refreshing to see people's lives changed by the Word of God. And they're hungering for more of Him. Praise His name. So let's turn to Romans 12 this evening. Paul spent his, in Romans 11, Paul talked about the Jews and the Gentiles all being brought together in Christ, and it gets pretty complicated. But in verse 31, look how many times in verse 30 and 31, look how many times the word mercy is found. "For as you were once disobedient to God, yet now have attained mercy through their disobedience, you Gentiles, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all." Deserving? No. Mercy. And he finally, Paul says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall repay to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things. I think Paul was overwhelmed. I wonder if he completely understood what he was saying himself. He was overtaken in the magnitude of the Jews and Gentiles and God's plan for them. And then we come to the verses that we're talking about. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, brothers and sisters, I would say in view of what? Of the mercies of God. So I've been talking about the mercies of God. So in view of that, when you see what God has done for you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your, I think the correct translation would be, which is your reasonable act of worship. So we think it's important that we worship, and you know that giving our bodies a living sacrifice is just a reasonable act of worship. So, is that something we do one time and it's finished? A continual thing, isn't it? A continual yielding. What? So a sacrifice. How much does a sacrifice, so an animal sacrifice, how much does, when animals were sacrificed, how much did the animal have to do with what happened to him? Could he say, no, I'm not going to be sacrificed. I don't want to be killed. Is that what it is? No. Now, we are asked to be a living sacrifice. So, if we give ourselves, our bodies, to be a living sacrifice, what does that mean? Someone venture? What does it mean? Give up control. We say, we belong to another. I'm no longer my own. I'm bought with a very expensive price. I belong to a good master. And then it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't take your cues from the world around you. You're going the other way. Be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so that's what we'd like to spend a little bit of time. What does it mean to be renewed? I think we're agreed that is also a process, isn't it? It's not something that, so let's all renew our minds tonight. And we all hold up our hands. Lord, we just give our minds to you. We ask you to come in. We renew them. And we say, praise the Lord, work's finished. It's not going to work that way. It's a day-by-day renewal, isn't it? Because we're dealing with our own nature. We're dealing with the enemy that wants to, again, rise the ugly face, our ugly wills, fighting against God's plan for us. So we need to be renewed continually. And how can we clean the inside of our cup, like Jesus said? Clean the inside first. How do we do that? Well, one way, and I just share with you some of verses, some books that I have found helpful. I don't know, each one of us has different things, different experiences, But 2 Corinthians 3:18 has been, in Roy Hessen's book, We Would See Jesus, has been so valuable and encouraging for me. But as we turn to 2 Corinthians 3, he's talking about, in verse 15, about the veil being over the face of the people. But he says, when the Lord, when people turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Can you tell me? Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Not bondage, liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, you know, when Moses went up to the mountain and the mountain shook, and he had to, and it was so terrible of you that the people said, don't get too close, and he put a veil over his face. But here now, this holy God, we can come near to him through Jesus our Lord. It says the Lord, now the Lord, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror, and Dwight read it, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what does, I think for me, that means mind renewal. So who does the changing? The Spirit of the Lord does the changing. What is our part? To see the glory of the Lord. And who is the glory of the Lord today? Jesus, right? Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And so if we want to grow in our Christian life, like Roy Hessen used to say, he said, it is enough to see him as the answer for every need. It is enough to humble ourselves. And when we're, and he will gently break us, just as we heard on Sunday. He tenderly, sometimes he breaks a bone. Sometimes he bruises us, but it's always with restoration in mind. To make us soft, to give us softer hearts and broken hearts that yearn for an infilling, to yearn to know him. You know, we say, it's not enough just to work for him. We can be serving him and be completely, and I can vouch for that. We can serve the Lord and pour our heart in there and be completely unbroken. When God's purpose is to do a work in us, that we can be to the praise of his glory. And it's a work that will never end. I think we'll look at a few practical ways. I would like to go in. 1 John 1 is another beautiful scripture. So if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It doesn't say we have to be perfect. He said, in fact, it says that if we say we have no sin, we're liars. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What does it mean to walk in the light? Maybe you can talk about that. I believe it means transparency. If I sin, that I bring it to the cross. If my brother comes and says, I don't appreciate what you've said, I bring it to the cross because I want to be walking in the light. I have nothing to hide, but I do. Sad to say. But really, I believe that's what God's will is, that it means walking in the light. In a repentant, broken attitude. Now, so just a few minutes yet of practically how does that look? And these are just, in your small groups, if you have time, you might not have time, you can talk about maybe practical ways that your mind is renewed. Or in other words, how can we keep our minds soft? How can we keep our hearts yielded? I believe this week, I think we should have a week like this every year, don't you think? It's good. Ask the Lord to search our hearts, bring it to the Lord, and we experience his cleansing in our lives. Blue skies above, clear conscience. Is there anything in anyone's heart that you know, well, I don't want anyone to know that? Don't worry. Bring it to the cross. That's why these kind of weeks are so good. As I think of the past when I was young, there were several of us that we call each other and challenge each other and check up on each other. How's our private devotions going? Are we keeping it up? And I realize this can become form, but it wasn't. It kept us on our toes. And some of us meet with Ellis for Bible study and prayer. We're always refreshed with others and alone. I have the advantage now that mornings I have a lot more time than I used to, but it's still, I believe, usually we need time with the Lord. It's just no other way. There's exceptions, of course. And it might get dry sometimes, but then we have times of refreshing and we're drawn to him. I like the picture of, as we think of mind renewal, I like the picture of, most of us, I think John Copeland's used this comparison. You know, you have, every house usually has a junk drawer. And you say, now it's time to clean this thing out. And we dump it out on the table. And we go through it. And we say, this keeps throwing out. We need this yet. Put everything in order. Put it back in. It's good if we do that with our hearts, isn't it? Once in a while. Open it up to the Lord. And say, Lord, what needs to be thrown up? Thrown out. Or the other way of looking at it is, I remember when I was a boy, we had some sheds, if I remember correctly, there was concrete under there somewhere. But it was a pretty long ways down there. And you had to work hard to get down there and get that hard crust out of there. Sometimes we get so busy with discussing, we get so busy living, and we don't know, I forget sometimes, what is really deep in my heart. I don't know if you can identify with that or not. So then we just need to ask the Lord, I want to dig it out, scrape it clean, and he's so gracious to do that. Bible reading, memorization, obey what we read. Getting together to pray, like the Hands of Christ prayer meeting, but there's so many ways with each other, alone, as a congregation in our times of worship. But just remember this, that without, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Oh, we can have a lot of activity, but we can do nothing of lasting fruit. So, thanks for listening, and I was talking to myself in the first place, and the desire is that we can just grow more and more into the image of our Lord. You know, it would be kind of nice if our depth of spiritual communion with the Lord would be so, in such a manner that we just, when we die, it's not an adjustment, is it? We just keep going. But it's not quite that easy, is it? Shall we pray? Our Father, I want to thank you for this evening. And we just want to thank you for your wonderful grace. Thank you for redeeming us from a life of sin. Thank you for giving us a loving church. Thank you for giving us caring homes, caring brothers and sisters. And oh Lord Jesus, we really want to love you with our whole heart, soul, and mind. We want to be broken that you can mold us into your image, but you know the process. Please just keep working in our lives that we as a congregation can be here for your glory. And then go out and be faithful witnesses of yours. To you be glory, to you be praise. In Jesus' name, amen.